thank you this evening. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. Lord, even as we are about to study your word, we thank you that your spirit will reveal you to us, that man would not be revealed here, that it will just be you, that at the end we will know you more. Bible says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee. That eternal life might flow through us, and we will have more understanding of who you are. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. We have a very interesting topic today, and the topic says why it is hard for us to accept grace. I did a little search, and I found out that using the King James Version, in the New Testament, I think grace is mentioned about 170 times. Paul alone, in his writings, mentioned grace 86 times. And funny enough, the New Testament ended with, that should be Revelation 22, verse 22, also ended with the word grace. So grace is quite a very important topic or concept that as Christians we should grasp. While I was in Sunday school, if I say the date now, you guys might catch how old I am. So while I was in Sunday school, I think I should be about 12 or 13, and my Sunday school teacher had a way he defined grace for me. So he said, grace simply means God's riches at Christ's expenses. So that's your G-R-A-C-E. So God's riches at Christ's expenses. Now, the English definition for grace, which is, let's not use just ordinary grace, the grace of God means unmerited favor, or you can say undeserved favor. So if we're using the grace concept, we are looking at two things, which means favor or gift that is not deserved or that is not merited at all. So it's not just that it's a gift. So for gifts, sometimes you might have to do something good for you to get it. Have you heard that saying that says one good turn deserves another? Have you heard it before? Yeah, but in grace, it's not like that. In God's grace, it means somebody's getting something that they don't deserve. So there's no merit. You don't necessarily qualify for it. It's just favor for somebody who's not qualified. And this concept is a bit hard for not just for Christians, even non-Christians. Because of, I was discussing with a friend, because I'm also a mental health nurse, and while we were discussing, we were just bouncing off ideas. And part of the problem, it might be as a result of nurture, because if you have kids, typical example, if you're naughty, Santa wouldn't bring you the right gifts, right? So it doesn't agree with nurture. Because kids feel, if I behave well, if I do right, mommy or daddy will get me the right present or give me what I want promptly. It does not go well with nature, because you have to plant the thing in the right place. Things have to be done correctly for you to get the right result. It does not go well with our set knowledge of things we know. If you come to work late, you might get fired. But God's grace is similar to his unconditional love. It's amazing when we share the grace. I always like when we do it in church. We say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we have in Christianity, everything we are meant to experience is as a result of God's grace. A typical example would be giving your life to Christ or getting saved is as a result of God's grace. A lot of people think it's as a result of them confessing their sins. Can you confess all your sins? Let's be serious. If you are half as naughty as I was, you can't remember everything, can you? There will be a lot you don't remember. But what got you into God's kingdom wasn't your necessary sin confession. It was believing in what Christ, in Christ's substitution. Because I've seen people give their lives to Christ or confess their sins, then they come next week and say, oh, I forgot this particular sin. Am I still saved? There was something I did some years ago. I didn't remember that particular one. No. Whether you remember it, whether you don't remember it, is what Christ did for you that translated you in here. So we're going to look at some reasons why it's hard or why we struggle with grace. Why we struggle with when we read God's word and God's word says one thing, but it doesn't really align with the way we think. So my plan is to go through, I think I've written down about 7 of them. So, and each of them has a scripture with it. I don't like teaching things that are not backed with scripture. Okay? So, last time we had people that read the Bible for us. So could we get 2 lovely people to get 2 quick readers? Okay, so first scripture we're going to look at is Ephesians 2, verse 8-9. And I think one of the reasons why we struggle with grace is because of our pride. Or because of our self-reliance. I believe we struggle because if grace is what it says it is, then that means we can't actually earn salvation based on our action. If grace is correct, then it means it takes away effort. If grace is correct, that means there will be no room for boasting. And trust me, I've been a Christian long enough to know that a lot of Christians like to boast. Maybe not in this church. You guys are very lovely, you don't boast. I remember a joke a friend of mine told me in a school. They were looking to give this prize for the most humble student. And there was this guy, very humble, and he won the most humble student. So in the assembly, they called his name, John Francis. This is a plaque for you for being the most humble student. Immediately, John walked up to get the plaque. They told him, you failed, you're no longer humble. For you to come forward to take the plaque, you have a bit of pride in you. Yeah, I know, poor John. But really, for some of us, if we accept grace for what it is, it takes away that pride. Because if we're all the same, no matter how long we pray, no matter what we do, if our boasting is only in Christ, then let's see what Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. Can somebody see? Is anyone there? Or do you guys want me to read it instead? Yeah, yes, please.
For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
Simple. A lot of us like to boast, trust me. So we find it hard to actually accept this free gift from God. We do struggle because Because if it's free, if our salvation really is free, and it's not based on our own effort, it should create humility inside of us, shouldn't it? It will bring us to my next point. How many of us remember the story of the prodigal son? Two of them, right? The good boy and the naughty one. The good boy always reminds me of Christians that have always been born again for so long, and they feel there's this little bit of boasting in them, this little bit of pride. I was born again from the age of 5. I've never sinned before. It's as if it's all what they've done. But if there's one thing I found out, God likes using the ones that have been really, really bad, because those ones really appreciate what God has done for them. Have you noticed that? Sometimes grace feels as if it's not fair. As a matter of fact, I think if you hear grace correctly, you would think it's not just, it's not fair. If we teach grace the way it should be taught, that it's a free gift, that there's no room for boasting, then the ones that have been doing all the good works and all this, I'm not saying you should do bad works, don't get me wrong. As a Christian, you don't want to do anything bad. Okay? If you read Matthew 20, Jesus told a parable about the vineyard, where this guy has a vineyard, he employed laborers, and some guys started very early in the morning, and some guys started just an hour before the shift ends, and he paid everybody the same. The guys that worked longer, they were not happy with it. That is how grace works. In our eyes, sometimes grace does not feel just. As a missionary in Nigeria some years ago, by then I still had hair, like Joel. Now I don't have hair anymore. They've all gone. I worked with this missionary group up north, northern Nigeria, and because I was born in southern Nigeria, and we always felt we knew God more than that. Was God calling? And we down south believed we knew God more. We were like the boasting guys, because we believed everybody up north. We believed that in northern Nigeria was all more Muslim-led. There were more Muslims. There were no Christians there. We were the ones that really knew God. Everybody down south really knew God. And for some reason, when you finish university in Nigeria, they will send you to do what we call youth service, whereby you give back to the country. So those from the south most times get posted to the north. And I got to the north. And instead of working in a school or in an accounting firm, I decided to do missionary. So if the government was willing to pay me to work for God, that's good. It's a bonus. So I found out that the Christians in the north, their experience about God was way more than what we thought. Some of them used to go to places that they are not even sure if they will come back. So they can go for evangelism and they could die, they could kill them. And there was no bitterness in them. They were excited to still go more. While those of us in the south, before we could go, we needed God to make sure he guaranteed us pocket money. So these guys, we in the south were boasting that we knew God. The guys in the north were the ones that actually knew God more. It's just like the story of Elijah when Jezebel told him, I'm going to have your head tonight. And Elijah got scared. Oh, God, I'm the only one that's not bowed. And God said, I have like over 7,000 prophets. You're not the only one. So sometimes God's grace might seem unfair. As a matter of fact, if you really experience God's grace, which you should as a Christian, by knowing your background, what you do in secret, what you do when nobody's watching, and God is still willing to love you unconditionally, He should humble you. Because trust me, all those people that boast, if we could look at their hearts sometimes, they're not any better than you are. You know, Jesus moved the goalpost when He came. He moved the goalpost from action to intent. So before Jesus came, we were only worried about actions. What did you do? But when Jesus came, He moved the goalpost a little bit forward. So it's not what you do. It's what made you, what was your intention, and even what you are thinking. So the standard got moved so high. So it's not what did you say wrong to A or B. Some of us say wrong things to people where in our heart we don't say it out. Do you understand what I'm saying? You guys are all looking at me as if there's no time your younger brother has made you mad and you felt like, But you act all spiritual outside and you don't say anything outside, but inside, you're saying 1,000 words inside. Jesus is saying, even those words you are saying inside counts. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God is willing to love you unconditionally. And if you follow grace in and out, you find out that sometimes, all the time it doesn't feel fair. But God's grace, God's love is what? It's unconditional. It is God's grace that has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. It is not what you did that brought you in. It is not what you are going to do. It's not what you will do. It is what Christ has already what He has done. The best way to explain it is this way. You know, when we teach grace sometimes, some people get mad. They get really mad. And they say, you are giving people license to sin. And I look at them and I laugh. Before we met Jesus, nobody needs to give us license. We were professional sinners. We were born in sin. We were made in sin. We were part of sin. Everything we did was sin. But how come now we met Jesus, when we want to sin, it becomes difficult? There's something in it, is that translation that makes it difficult. So I know sin is not an issue. Do you understand what I'm saying? As a Christian, if you find out something is wrong, would you want to do it? You wouldn't. It's as if there's a resistance. Things that you found so easy to do before, all of a sudden, you don't find them easy. As a matter of fact, even if you're doing it, you're not feeling happy with yourself anymore. It is the grace of God at work in you. So we're not talking about sin here now. Okay? We're talking about what made us that way. It's God's grace that made us that way. And we should take full advantage of it. We should not be like those laborers that they told, okay, for just working out 1 hour, we are going to get paid the full wage. And we now start complaining. Oh, God, are you sure I shouldn't do something more? Oh, it's only 1 hour I worked. God, are you not sure? I'm owing nine hours. Everybody did a 9-hour shift. I only did one. Because sometimes the way we talk, the way we behave as if we are saying, God, you shouldn't pay us the full shift wage. We are behaving as if saying, God, maybe you should, God, we only worked one, just pay us for the one. Because grace feels what? Unfair. It is what? Unmerited favor. And like every gift, you have to what? You have to accept it. You could make God's grace of no effect. Remember, it's a gift. You could decide that, okay, I don't want it. I want to walk on my own. I want to do my own. But the problem with doing your own is you might think you are earning it, but you are just being prideful. It's I again. It's not him. So you want to tell us that it was I that did it. It was me that did it. Somehow you think you are humble, but you are not humble. It's actually pride itself. Okay, let's rush through the rest so that we don't. Okay, number three, I'll give you the scriptures you read when you get home. I think another problem we have with grace is sometimes, like I said, there's a guilt trip we can't escape from. Are you sure God will really forgive me? Are you sure if God really knew what I did, he would be okay with it? Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you get home, read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says we should come boldly to the throne of grace. So when you kneel down to pray, don't kneel down praying scared. Because of grace, you can access God's throne room boldly, not scared, not shaking, not, Bible says, come that you might obtain mercy. Come what? Come boldly. But what if God knew what I did last week? Tell him. There's grace. The blood is there. Because if you don't tell him, it will only ostracize you the more. And we know it's not the Holy Spirit accusing you. There's only one accuser of the brethren we know, and it's the devil. Okay? I guess like the prodigal son, did he know that his father always wanted his companion? His father always wanted his company. Even though after he has wasted all his money, wasted everything, he said, okay, I'll go back home. I'll tell my father I want to be a servant. Did the father want him to be a servant when he came back home? After he had his epiphany and reflected and said, okay, why am I here? Killing myself. Back home is a lot better. When the father saw him, did the father tell him, okay, I have a servant position for you? That was grace. Another clear example is, like I've been saying so far, it's not a license to sin. Some of us misunderstand it. Paul rightly said in Romans 6:1-2, he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Say, God forbid. As a Christian, if you are doing something wrong, you feel uncomfortable. Have you noticed it? You don't feel, as a Christian, you don't feel comfortable when you're doing something wrong. So if you feel that, oh, grace is a license to do bad, no, it's not. But if you don't understand this gift that God has given you, you wouldn't use it. You always feel you're condemned, you're bad, you feel depressed because you're not believing God's gift. And you always feel you have to earn salvation. You always feel you have to earn God's love. Yes, I was taught that as a young Christian growing up. You don't even need Christianity to teach you. Even your parents behave that way most times. Your siblings. We always feel we have to earn it, be it your boss, be it anybody who is above. We feel we have to do something to impress them. Constantly. But God doesn't work that way. What are you going to do to impress God? As a matter of fact, humans are the only animals or the only living thing that doesn't grow to their full potential. If you plant a tree, the tree will grow to its full potential. It's only humans. So how much do you know? So we think you think God will love you more because you want to. No, no, no. His love is, we are making as if God's love is conditional. Do you know? We always run our mouth and say, oh, it's unconditional love. But our actions and what we say makes God's love sound as if it's very, very conditional. Oh, God wouldn't like me because I did this. Oh, God will only like me more if I do this. If only I wake up at 12 o'clock to pray, then God will like me more. We say it, but we don't know. But then when we come and sing our lovely hymns and our lovely songs, we say, oh, his love is unconditional. But every other thing we do, we put condition on God's love. His love is really, really unconditional. It's agape. It's not eros. It's not feel. It's not any. It's agape. Okay? And we have to start acting that way. Thank God that God is our God, but we are lucky that due to grace, we can also call him our Father. That's a different ball game altogether. We can call him Abba. Abba moves the goalpost. You see, being from Africa, I've seen people, I grew up knowing what it means to worship gods, little g gods. And trust me, you don't want to offend them. There are conditions, there are things you shouldn't do. There are funny gods that you worship that might be the god of thunder, and if you do anything, you could get struck by lightning or thunder. You will. Those gods don't love unconditional. They give you conditions, and once you break anything, you get the recompense straight away. And sometimes we treat God that same way. Or we describe God that same way. I think we misrepresent God to people. This is our unconditional loving God. So, grace means that God is what? His what? His love is what? Unconditional. And the earlier we start understanding it, that his love is what? Unconditional. God is not angry with you because of what you did 10 years ago, and he's kind and he's bitter towards you. No. Oh, Anthony, if you know what I did 10 years ago, have you told it to him? If you feel it, tell God, then he forgives you. Come boldly to that you might obtain grace. Go to him. Bible, it says, if we confess our sins, he's righteous to forgive us of all, not some, all unrighteousness. So why stop whining and tell him and get the thing done over with and let's move on, or else you'll be walking in self-pity for years and years and years. It doesn't make any sense. I think sometimes, because of the fear of losing control, if we apply grace fully or if we teach grace fully, we will lose the control we have. For some pastors, they control their members by not teaching grace correctly. The fear of losing control is there. Even the fear of them not being in control. Do you know what it means to allow God to be in control? As humans, we want to be in control. The more information you have about something, the better. You don't just want to leave it to chance, do you? Proverbs 43, how many of us have read Proverbs 3, 5, they say, trust in the Lord. Can we really trust in the Lord? Grace actually means trusting in the Lord. It means not trusting in your job, not trusting in the state, not trusting in your knowledge, but trusting in who? Trusting in the Lord. And I won't lie to you, it's not easy to trust in the Lord. Because that means you're giving, when preachers teach these things, it sounds so easy. Oh, take all your cares and put it on the Lord. And it's easy, just put it there. It's easier to put it on my GP. I can see my GP, I can talk to my GP, he can give me my diagnosis. It's easier to trust my GP because my GP will tell me what the problem is. And when I've done some tests, he will give me everything, than for me to just take it to the Lord and what? And put it there. Oh, these guys are good. It's easier to lean on your own understanding, you know, right? Or I'll put it this way, to lean in your own experience. I think the biggest problem Christians have is experience. There's this saying that says experience is the best teacher. I don't believe so. Experience is quite an expensive teacher. The Word of God is the best teacher. Bible says when the Spirit of the Lord will come, when the Spirit, Jesus talking about the Comforter, he says he will guide you into all truth. The Bible didn't say that the Holy Spirit will guide you through all experience. No, it is the truth. And what is truth? God's word. For many of us, we want the Holy Spirit to guide us through experience, not through God's word. It's easier to trust experience than to trust God's word. Oh, Anthony, you don't understand. If you have experienced this, you would know, what does God's word say about it? And we have to make it a conscious effort. And you can't trust God if you don't know what his word is. And you can't know what grace is until you learn God's word. So you have to read God's word, trust it, lean on it, submit to it. That means you have to be humble to God's word. You know, for a lot of Christians, we don't understand what pride is. A lot of Christians think pride is anything you do that is against God's word. If God's word tells you something and you disagree with it, you're proud. You think yours is better than God's own. It's simply pride. You have to humble yourself under God's word. God's word. Will it be easy all the time? No. It has to be done what? Consciously. And if you don't know God's word, how can you even humble yourself under it? Okay. The last two is, I think, the fear of change and our resentment unto God's forgiveness for others. Now, we'll use the story of the prodigal son. You see how resentful the good brother was to the younger one? When people we know that were very bad, let me say, typical example of somebody who, let's say, like up north then, people that were giving problem to Christianity, you try to preach, this guy might have killed a lot of Christians. And there were people like that. We did have people like that. And when they now give their life to Christ and now change, some of us, we feel, can God really save that person? Oh, maybe he needs to pray extra. Maybe some curses needs to be broken on that guy because that guy has killed many Christians. He has many blood in his hands. The grace of God will just clean him the same way he cleaned you. Paul was a typical example in the Bible. Did Paul go to break any curses or anything? The same Paul that killed Stephen. So sometimes when we see God's grace on somebody else, we get jealous or resentful, just like the other brother. And the parable of the prodigal son is in Luke 15, 25 to 32. But I believe most of us know that story. And for some of us, the last problem with dealing with grace is the fear of change. For me, it was a problem for me also. As a young Christian, got born again, there's what we used to call then, I don't know whether it's popular today, they used to call it firebrand. Okay, nobody, so I'm not getting any smiles, so maybe you guys know what they used to call them firebrand Christians. So I was what you call the firebrand. Firebrands are the guys that are in the prayer squad, doing everything, going to break us, do everything, you're seeing them everywhere. Like the kind of guy you want to have as a pastor. So he's in choir, he's in prayer, they are everywhere, doing everything. And because of that, we had a peck on our shoulder, like we are the special ones. So whether we like it or not, we got a bit proud. So the same group of people you got born again with, you feel you are better a little bit. Not even, you feel you are much better than they are, because when they are sleeping at home, the prayer team is praying in church. We are the ones making sure that God's hand is coming down. Without us, God can't move. He must be a very small God then. We just had all these perks and all these things and felt the other guys, because we don't even know what the other guys are doing. We are busy talk saying our own, but the other guys, we don't know what they are doing, do we? We only know what we are doing. But the more you read God's word and appropriate God's word correctly, the more you find out that we are all the same. I like what Greg thought about today when he was talking about love and knowledge. The Bible says that knowledge puffeth up. Or if you are not careful, knowledge can bring about pride. And Greg said that knowledge, that love trumps knowledge. Grace becomes easier when you know love. That is why for people that don't know love, they struggle with grace. If you know knowledge alone and you don't know love, the grace message will seem, it can't be true. It's too easy. It's unfair. But once you know love well enough, it starts sounding fair. I asked my sister-in-law, if you were the father of the prodigal son and your son that joined the gang reflects and gets born again and come home, what would be your action? She said, no difference from the father. I said, okay, because you love your son. Starts becoming easy. So ultimately, for us to understand and accept grace, it requires for us to be humble. Not just humble in our own eyes, but humble to God's word. It requires for us to actually trust God for what he says and who he says he is. If God says he's made you something, just trust him. Don't question it. Because sometimes we say God is God, but we question him a lot. And we must be willing to accept God's unconditional love. We must make a conscious choice to say, okay, God, if you are willing to love me unconditionally, I'm willing to accept, because I can reject it. Yeah, God is willing to love me unconditionally, but God is not going to force me to accept his unconditional love. I myself must make a conscious decision to accept this love coming from God. God wants to have a relationship with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Ultimately, that is why Christ came. He doesn't want robots. He wants to have children. It has to be a relationship. So Christ dying at his expense, grace has been made available for us to access this. It's unconditional love. So let's try and just accept what God has given to us. Accept the gift. It's a free gift. Let's accept the gift. Let's unwrap our gifts. As you open the Bible, as you read your Bible, don't try not to argue with it. Okay? Accept what God says about you. You might not look like it now. Okay? But accept it. And trust me, as you accept it, you will see yourself, Paul says, like looking in a mirror. You start changing to looking like what God says you are. The word of God becomes your mirror, becomes your... As a nurse, we say the word of God becomes your baseline. And before you know it, the more you keep looking at God's word, the more you keep changing and you're becoming more and more of what God says you are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. The Bible says that the entrance of your word brings light. Your word brings illumination, it brings revelation, it brings clarity. Lord, we ask that your word will bless us. Your word will heal us. Your word will deliver us from ourselves. Your word will make us know you more. Your word will make us understand that we have to depend on you and you solely, not on ourselves, not on our strength. And Lord, we pray that as we've heard your word about grace, that we will accept your grace. And we will apply your grace in our lives daily, in Jesus' matchless name. Amen.